So what I've said so far is more on an attachment level. This idea of rule of thirds really comes from attachment, is really focusing on that axis, that aspect of safety and security and who's important. But I also want to talk about thirds as a problem on an arousal level. And one of the places it commonly comes up, again with child rearing, is where one parent is getting aroused and becoming perhaps dysregulated while they're dealing with the child. Now, what often happens when one parent is becoming dysregulated with a child is that on an auditory level, that begins to sound like a siren or an alarm that alerts the other parent to something threatening, to something dangerous. Because voices are raised, voices are pitched higher than normal, and there's experience with this, I know where this is going, and I begin to get very excited and very upset as the other partner listening from another room or watching this from the same room. And suddenly, everybody in that room, outside of that room, is alarmed. Everyone's connected together like one nervous system, and everyone is feeling alarmed and threatened. The problem comes when the partner who is observing this tries to put the fire out or tries to solve the threat or tries to do something to calm everyone down and goes to the wrong person, and the wrong person usually is the child. So he hears her get upset with the child, and he doesn't like where it's going for a variety of reasons. He doesn't like where it's going and wants to intervene. Any number of things can happen, such as him coming in and taking the side of the child, or disagreeing with that parent who's become dysregulated and undercutting her. There's so many ways to make mistakes here. On an arousal level, what I'd like to suggest to you is that the person to go to is the master regulator, the adult, the other partner, and to do something to help them, not to go to the child, even though that may be your impulse. If one of you becomes tipped over or tilted rather than go to the child, that instead of trying to stop the argument or stop the alarm, that you go to your partner and do something very quick to bring them back into that window of tolerance that I talked about earlier. Do something very, very quick that would restore their ability to think and do their job and then just leave. And that would look like perhaps going to them, giving them a kiss and saying, even though you don't believe it for a second, good job, and walk away. Even if that's funny, that'll bring a laugh. Or, I love you. Or, do you want my help? Anything that doesn't represent a threat to that partner, because remember, you coming in could be interpreted as I'm taking over or you're incompetent or any number of things that will just throw that partner completely for a loop. It's just enough to bring the arousal down so the person can think again and their judgment is restored and they're not undercut by you. One of the things I look for when I see couples is their ability to change each other's state very quickly. I might ask one partner to look at the other partner right away and say, do something right now that would make your partner feel loved so that it shows in their face, go. And then I wait to see whether they're able to say or do something that would cause that effect, that would create that effect. Because ultimately, I want to know that partners know how to change each other's state. They know exactly what to do to move the other partner up in arousal, down in arousal, to relax or to get excited or whatever that they want to do. They know how to work that person like an instrument. That's important for both people, by the way. Everybody wants to feel competent, like I've said before, but also we like the sense that we're with somebody who can manage us. They can manage us in the best way. I'm not talking about for evil, but for good. And so I want to see how good people are at doing this. I'm always surprised at how badly people do this who have been married for a long time. You'd think they would know how to enliven their partner. So I might say, right now I want you to bring a twinkle into their eye. I want you to do something to brighten your partner's eyes and face. Go. And they've got nothing. So this business of knowing exactly how to move your partner, how to change your partner's state is very important, especially as we start to move into how to fight well. The other thing I'm doing when I ask people about this is I want them to check their work, how good they're doing, not by what they think they're doing, but the evidence on the other person's face. So if you are apologizing to your partner, one way to know whether it's working is whether your partner looks relieved. That's how you check your work. That's how you see how good you're doing. If you're trying to make your partner feel loved, you look on the face. That gives you an idea of how you're doing. You shouldn't have to ask, how am I doing? You shouldn't have to ask, what do I do to make you feel this way or that way? Because, first of all, your partner doesn't know, so why ask? But also, you kind of should know how to do this because you, are in each other's care. This is a different game than other games. This is where you take care of each other, where you pay attention, where you know how the other person works. You know what is going on with him.